Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Luis Elizondo is here. His book is imminent, Inside the Pentagon's Hunt for UFOs. Luis Liu was many years at the Pentagon and is familiar with the protocols, to be polite. And the day he delivered his letter, he expected anything. But he knew he was taking a risk with his career, with his family's fortunes, with the future for his daughters. And he took it because to stay would have been to live in denial, as apparently a number of your seniors were able to do successfully for many years. So what happened next is not predictable. It's the part of the book that I said, really? Really? This happened? That happened? Within months, the journalists have it. A woman named Kent Kane, a man named Blumenthal, and most importantly, a star reporter named Helene Cooper. And they learned Lou's story, and they learned the story of the Pentagon not being candid, to be generous. And it wound up in the New York Times. Wow, Lou, well done.
Oh, I can't take credit for that, sir. That is, I think, a combination of the reporters and also the interest by the American public. All I did was play a small role in that and provide the information that they were asking me. But I had really nothing to do with the New York Times article coming forward. I cannot take credit for that.
It was the revelation of your program that was the breaking news, and then the storytelling, which had been in information available to the public, but it was always being told it was swamp gas, or you're seeing things, or those lights in the sky were a reflection from an aircraft going by. However, that wasn't enough. You know, there's that wonderful scene in the original Body Snatchers where our hero escapes having his body taken over by these alien creatures as his girlfriend's body is taken over, and he rushes to a phone booth and calls the White House. Give me the White House. We're being invaded. You got to do something. Lou, I learned from you that nothing would have happened. That phone call would have been ignored.
Yeah, they probably would be visited by some people afterwards and asked some direct questions about your psychological stability.
Let's get to the good part, which is Lou and his colleagues, and there are a long list of people who have been part of this conversation. And he thanks them all in his acknowledgments at the end. And I'm sure they're very pleased to have all the facts laid out finally for us. We get the Congress involved because the executive branch is not responding or is actively seeking to not only defame Lou, but to say he never worked there, to deny that he had anything to do with such an office, to deny everything. So it's moving to Congress that's necessary. Who is Chris Mellon? And what role does he play for this storytelling, Lou?
Wow. So Chris Mellon is probably one of the most intelligent human beings I have ever had the opportunity to meet and know personally. He's right up there at the same caliber of as General Jim Mattis, an American hero. This is a person who, it's not totally my story to tell, so I'll just hit the wave tops. Chris Mellon comes from the famous Mellon family. I didn't know it at the time. When I say Mellon family, think of Carnegie Mellon, Mellon Bank, Mellon University, Gulf Oil. And as a young man, he grew up really pretty tough, actually. A lot of people think that he was, you know, kind of born into this charmed life. He wasn't. He was actually born as a kind of a street fighter, to be honest with you, and didn't know for a very long time his relationship to the Mellon family. But he worked his way from really nothing all the way to being in the legislative branch, working as a senior staffer for then Bill Cohen, then who later brought him to the Pentagon to be the senior intelligence official at the Pentagon. And during that time, he had asked several times other staff members, you know, what are we doing about UFOs? Very, very discreetly, do we have a UFO program? And it was always no, nothing to see here. And it wasn't until later on when he realized our program existed, and he came into the Pentagon, he realized that the programs were real and that we were collecting data almost on a daily basis. And he got very, very frustrated. And I remember that conversation. And I think it was at that moment he felt this requirement, this urge to help the chain of command and the bureaucracy work this issue more diligently, but also inform the American public and make sure that Congress was being informed. He is the reason why we are here today. If there was one person besides Senator Harry Reid and a few others, Chris Mellon's the reason why we're having this conversation in Congress. Chris Mellon's the reason why I think the media now is finally taking this topic seriously. Chris Mellon is the reason why people are coming forward and blowing the whistle, people that were involved in the Legacy Program, and talking to Congress and other elements within the government. So I don't know what else to say other than that he is a true, true American hero and a national treasure.
Yes, because what we have here is a body of evidence. We have over here decision makers in the Congress, and in between is an apparatus, generation after generation, that is better at denial than it is at clarity, much better. And that's one of the plots within Lou's book that's helpful. All these years of being frustrated, why there's been never been a successful audit of the Pentagon, why the programs cost so much and don't seem to make us safer. Well, lose a glimpse at that. And once they acknowledged the fact that you existed, the story moved a little bit. But still, I thought, oh, well, now they've got to Congress. Something's going to happen. Marco Rubio, Chuck Schumer, good heavens, these are heavyweights. But still, they passed legislation after legislation. What is this, 2021 in the early days of the pandemic, 2022? You read it into the budget, and every time you read it into the budget, some group at the Pentagon finds a way to deny you. And I have to believe that that's the way they're trained. That's their orders, Lou. It's not just ordinary people. Help me understand that.
Sure. Well, look, this is a repeated pattern. This is nothing new. If you know, one only has to look at recent history, whether it's Iran-Contra or the Pentagon Papers or the Afghanistan withdrawal. The Pentagon and our military-industrial complex has a long history of deceiving the American public. And I don't want to paint with a broad stroke the whole government or just even the Department of Defense or the intelligence community, because that's not fair. There are pockets within the government that are working counter to what I believe is counter to the interests of the American people. They are working in a way where they are making decisions unilaterally, rather than informing the chain of command, rather than informing Congress, rather than doing what they're supposed to do. They're making the unilateral decision to keep information secret or withheld, and not for the reasons you might think. We keep information secret for two reasons, to protect sources and to protect methods. It is illegal, actually illegal, to keep information secret or classified to protect malfeasance or to try to cover something that's embarrassing, and yet, time and time again, we continue to see this. We see the abuse of the classification system to cover the tracks of malfeasance. And so this was one of the concerns I had. We were spending taxpayer money looking for these UFOs. It was sponsored by the senator, Senator Harry Reid. It was, by the way, bipartisan. Senator Harry Reid, Senator Ted Stevens, and Senator Inouye, right? And yet still the Pentagon was denying the fact that this effort was even going on. And you can imagine the frustration both the folks in Congress had, who were the sponsors of this program, and the people doing the work, such as myself and my colleagues, when our own chain of command said, listen, keep doing what you're doing quietly, but don't tell anybody. Well, we have to, because we're having problems. We're literally having UAP splitting right down the middle combat air formations. Now, think how close you have to be to split two F-18s flying in a combat formation, right? Something is going to happen here. We were getting pleas from the field saying literally on classified email, hey, what do you want me to do, Lou? What do you want me to do, Jay? Because I can't keep people below deck forever. These things, these UAP are all over the ship, right? And so it became really the worst kept secret. And so that, I think, was the greatest frustration I saw, was that our own bureaucracy, there were decision makers not wanting this conversation to occur. And even after I left the Department of Defense, as you say, That effort continues. To this day, there is a member of the public affairs team at the Pentagon who is responsible for this topic, who is a colonel and trained in psychological operations, who, by the way, I won't mention the person's name, who wrote a thesis that actually says towards the end, you cannot separate propaganda from the roles and responsibilities of public affairs. Now, think about that. This is somebody who is trained in propaganda and has stated for the record that it is okay to mix propaganda when you're informing the American people through public affairs. That is illegal. That is exactly the antithesis of what the public affairs office is supposed to do. And yet time and time again throughout history, we continue to see these elements doing the same thing. President, not just with UFOs, but with other topics.
President Biden signed not one, but two laws from the House and the Senate that are vehicles for clarity, for stating the facts. And neither of those have been adequate to get at it. So there's something more. The Constitution doesn't help me here. Is there some place we can go to get, do we have to go to the courts? What is the explanation that the President of the United States signing legislation from the Congress can't get the Pentagon to obey?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, there's a mindset that some presidents are what they consider temporary hires. I know it sounds absolutely bonkers, but the reality is that there are individuals in the, and not to make light of it, but there's actually a term that we use in the Pentagon, and we call, these people call themselves weebies. We be here before you, and we be here after you leave. And basically, there's this mindset that the politicians in our country and the leadership in our country are quote unquote temporary hires. They're here for 4 years and then they're likely gone. So there is no need to necessarily brief these individuals into some of these efforts that are ongoing. And by the way, like I said, it's not always, it's really not that unusual. There are many, many examples in the last even decade where presidents have not been briefed to certain things that we've been doing. Well, look, they weren't briefed to mine. They weren't briefed to our program, ATIP. They weren't briefed to OSAP. I mean, that's a classic example right there.
There are people to credit and success as it's gone so far. I want to mention in particular Helene Cooper, Leslie Kane, I believe, Leslie Kane, and Ralph Blumenthal, who've written not one, not two. I've read three stories. There might be a fourth. I didn't have time to click through everything. There is information coming out. It's not pouring out. You have to look for it. But it gets clearer and clearer that there's more to investigate than we have ever dreamed. So when we come back, I'm going to explore the one piece that seems most telling. It's called the Legacy Program. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.